When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On episode 16 of the Green Street Hammers podcast, the whole crew is back together and we revisit West Ham's FA Cup win over Birmingham. We move on to Twitter questions and a new segment before an impromptu discussion on West Ham's next FA Cup opponent, AFC Wimbledon. We end with a full review of the upcoming league match against Arsenal. All right, welcome to the Green Street Hammers podcast. This is episode 16. And as if by some New Year's magic, we have the entire crew here together. Everyone's back. We've got myself, Adam in Toronto, Scott in Melbourne, Australia. We have Jeff down in Texas, and we have Jeremiah out in Colorado, I believe. Gentlemen, how are we all doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
Great to be here.
All right. Good way to start it off. I'm excited. We haven't had everyone here for a while, so it's a good way to start off the new year. I know we did have one last week, but we'll build on this momentum here. And we can start with a little review of the last match we had. West Ham's FA Cup third round draw was a 2-0 win over Birmingham. A pretty dominant effort, if you want to put it into statistical terms. But Birmingham looked up for a game, that's for sure. Scott, what did you make of the entire match as far as West Ham was concerned? Their 2-0 win there.
I don't think it really went differently to how you could really expect a decent Premier League side and a decent Championship side to go. We dominated possession. They created a lot more chances per possession that they got forward quickly. They really tried to push us when they had the ball. And we were just more clinical in the end. We got Carroll cleared off the line. There was chances for both teams, but at the end, beginning and the end of the match, we put away the chances we had. And that's probably the difference between the Premier League and Championship. They played fast pace. We kept the ball and we made it work for us. So, yeah, anyone who wanted more, I don't really understand it. We protected some players in the side. Arnie came off when Pellegrini wanted to protect him, and we won. I think that's the FA Cup. Go through next round.
Jeff, Arnautovic scored in the second minute off of a scrambled header off a corner kick and was then promptly taken out in the 20th minute. Are you a fan of the move from Pellegrini here to pull out our star striker once the lead was intact?
Sure. Why not? I mean, I think when you watch any of these FA Cup matches, especially when have a championship side against an EPL side, boy, it can get rough and it can get chippy. And there's no sense in taking a guy who's really shouldn't have been starting under normal circumstances. But I think Arnautovic was starting because he hasn't really got a lot of matches recently because he has been injured. So the only reason he got the start was because they're trying to get a run of play into his legs. Then once he scores and once we kind of establish the momentum of the game, they take him off, both because we have the lead and as a precaution. And I think that's just smart. We shouldn't need Marko Arnautovic to play 90 minutes to advance in the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. And, you know, the old tactic used to be keep your big guns on the bench. I think, as I'm saying, this Mo Salah is coming on against Wolves to try and clean up an FA Cup, at least draw for Liverpool. But the old adage was, you know, keep your big guns on the bench, and if you're losing or it's a close match, bring them in to close it out. Pellegrini did do that with Felipe Anderson, just bringing him in to sort of carry the ball at the end of the match. But he went all out for it in the beginning and clearly had a plan to pull him after that goal. So we'll go from one goal scorer to another. And in the 91st minute, Andy Carroll gets his first of the season, his first since April of last year, I believe. Jeremiah, your guy, my guy, what did you make of the goal? And give me an overall grade on his performance in this match, if you could.
Man, it was due. You know, they kept coming into him the entire match or most of the match, and it was definitely due. I think I'll start with the grade. I'm gonna be a little harsh on him. I'll probably give him a C if we're gonna go grade value that way. I mean, just kind of harshly. I don't know if he hasn't really got back into like full shape yet, just from his like, you know, pretty long lengthy injury that he had, or what the deal was. But I think overall, it's good to see the goal. It's good to see, you know, the kind of emotion that he had. I think I've seen a lot of people kind of laughing, like, was he crying? Was there tears? But just seeing the emotion that he had from finally scoring, and it was a perfect cross from Antonio, and he finally got free. And so, I mean, overall, I give him a C. I'm going to be a little harsh on him, even though I love him. But the goal was due, and it was a solid goal for sure.
And Jeff, did you think there was any chances that he had earlier that he should have maybe done better on in that match?
Not in particular. I don't recall any that I just thought were groaners where he missed a huge opportunity, unlike I saw from a couple other guys, Antonio, you know, earlier in the match. But, you know, we have talked more about Andy Carroll on this podcast, it seems like, than any other player, at least any other starter. And I think he's such a lightning rod. It's strange to say that he's not match fit and he's not in shape, because he's been playing now for about 6 weeks and he should be in match shape. I just think that the style of play that we're playing and the players that are around him, we're not playing that style anymore. We're just not banging the ball into him every chance we get down the pitch. And I think that's hurting him. It was great to see him score, no doubt. If we could find any kind of form for him as a super sub, it would help us in the long run, I think. But I think he's been okay. I agree with this, the C average grade. That's what he's been. He's been okay.
Yeah, and you know, there was one in particular chance. It was a long ball down the middle. Andy Carroll jumped up, won the header, and then the ball was sent back into him, and he brought it down, shook his defender, stepped around the keeper, and just hit it too long, and ended up shooting it into the side of the net. And people were sort of slating him for that. I have never known Andy Carroll to take a ball off of his chest, bring it down to his feet, and walk around the keeper, let alone get a chance on goal at any point in time there. So there's definitely signs that he's on the right track, but I think Jeremiah got it right with his grade C. He kind of jogged around. He clearly wasn't match fit, especially for 70 minutes in this one, but he was up for it. He was there and he was trying. I just think he needs to get in better shape and take after Robert Snodgrass and have that sort of mini career revival where he loses a little bit of weight, puts his head down, works hard, keeps his head out of the papers or off of any tables with some substances piled up on top of them, and just focuses on the matches at hand. And I think he actually wants to, because the life of luxury of what, 90K a week is about to come to an end for him. So if he likes living that life, I think he'll find a way to stay motivated. As far as youth goes in this match, we saw Grady Diangana get the start, and we saw Zonde Silva get his first start after coming on with the draw against Brighton. A little disappointing not to see Nathan Holland there, wasn't it, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world, there'd be a bit more youth involved. I mean, I wrote an article about I would have quite liked to have seen the trio of them, Silva, Diangana, and Holland. Probably get a start with Nasri sort of taking up that number 10 role in the middle of them. Looking at how it went, and I understand that Arnautovic was picked because, as you say, he hasn't had much game, and he is our best striker. Mm-hmm. And looking at how the game went, it probably needed that kind of clinical edge to it, because Birmingham did play well. They were a solid side, and I think it's one of those where, yeah, if you could guarantee a win and play youth, brilliant. But the win is the more important thing. So I can see why Pellegrini erred on the side of going through and a bit of caution than just going full youth.
Yeah. Did you guys think, I don't know, I just want your opinion on it. Was Zonda Silva playing left wing?
That's what I thought.
It looked like it, yeah.
He kind of... go ahead, Scott.
I think Silva's quite a versatile player from what I've seen, and more in the under-23s and stuff I've seen, videos I've watched before. He does play as an inside forward. He can play as a striker. I think his best attribute is when he can isolate a defender, like if he is playing off the left wing, such that. But it means that he's going to find it hard to get game time with Anderson in such good form and hopefully not injured for the rest of the season. And also, I think that's Nathan Holland's favourite position as well. So we've got a real sort of influx of talent in that area, which is good and a potential issue for Pellegrini.
Yeah, I won't direct this topic or anything on anyone in particular, so jump in if you feel ambitious, but I thought Grady Diangana was absolutely electric in this game, and he's had a few, not stinkers, but games where he's disappeared a bit, and I just can't really say enough about how impressive he is with such, you know, he's very small, he's got very little experience, although he's racking it up match by match now. But Diangana kind of looks like he's one to watch here. He's great at cutting inside, but also he's got a great left foot on him too.
No, I thought he was fantastic, and I completely agree. You know, you can tell he's still young. He's got I won't call it sloppy. That'd be a little too harsh. But you can tell from time to time he tries to do something, doesn't really work. But all in all, yeah, the left foot looked good. He's good at cutting in. He's got a lot of pace, and you can tell he's out there and he wants to play. And I was not surprised, but like you said, he's had a couple rough matches, maybe not rough, but he's had some decent ones, but yeah, he definitely came out and I loved it. I would have loved to have seen Holland too, like you were saying, Scott, but yeah, with Grady Diangana, he looked fantastic. I thought,
you know, it's interesting with Diangana, and I'll echo everything that y'all have said. Not that Antonio is going to be our regular right back. He's not. He's going to play right back when Zabaleta needs a rest. But, you know, Diangana and Antonio, it's like he's the only guy that Antonio has any chemistry with. They work the 1-2 and they work together on that side pretty well. And I think there's something to be said for that, too, if Antonio is going to be playing a match at right back. And I know we have Snodgrass that can play on that wing and Diangana. So I think there's something to be said for that. And I think he's noticeable and he's not scared to make things happen and to try to do things. And I think that's fantastic. I think anytime that our club can have someone on the pitch that the other team has to pay close attention to outside of Anderson, it's a plus. And so if you have Anderson and Arnautovic out there, okay, that's two guys for them to pay attention to. If you have Arnautovic and Anderson and Diangana, well, if they sleep on Diangana, he can definitely do some damage or get the ball to one of the other guys. And I think those are great qualities to have. And I think he's just going to continue to improve. And I love when he's in the side. I love it. I think he's great.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought up the Antonio part, because I also think Diangana multiple times throughout the match, actually almost continuously, was sprinting to cover back at right back. Antonio obviously loves to get up and get forward, but Diangana was certainly at least getting a body in the way of play down there, and that's good to see, and clearly it's been a focus of getting our wingers or wide players to come back. So let's get away from the youth here. And Scott, you are the elder statesman of the Green Street Hammers, so I'll let you have your say first. But were you impressed? If so, how much? And what are your thoughts in general on the newest West Ham signing, Samir Nasri?
Yeah, I think he did well, considering he's not played football in over a year. He covered a lot of ground. He got on the ball. He showed that he still finds a pass. I don't really think we could have asked too much more of him. We will face harder teams than Birmingham, but he took up that number 10 role. He got on the ball. He made passes. He's come in, like, Pellegrini's picked him because he knows what he's about. He's got a good passing range on him. He runs and he gets involved in play, and that's what he did. And if that's why he's been signed, then perfect. He can cover across the attacking midfield. He can play central midfield as well. I mean, he's more an attacking player than a defensive player, but he still covers a lot of ground, and that really helped us. That kind of work ethic in the middle. I was impressed. I mean, I'm still not 100% sure of his attitude in the long term, because he's shown at times that he can not necessarily throw his toys out of the pram, but something close. He can throw a little bit of a strop at times, and that attitude has to be, that the potential for professionalism is called into question by the fact he got this ban in the first place. So yeah, I think in terms of if we brought him in as cover for the next 6 months or 18 months, brilliant. I think he's done well, and I hope that we see him just continue to improve as his match fitness recovers.
Yeah, guys, let me know your thoughts too. I want to hear where we're all at on Nasri here. So Jeff, maybe let me know what you think.
Yeah. Sure, and I mean, I haven't seen much of this guy at all. I mean, I don't really remember him in that Manchester City side very much. That's probably my bad. But I was impressed. He was another guy who was noticeable, and I thought, okay, I can see the rust, but underneath the rust, with any good player, you can tell the players that have a skill level that's a cut above.
Absolutely.
And I felt like that's what you could see with him, even though you have the rust. But I agree. He could pick out a pass. He kind of controlled the ball when he got it to him. He knew where to go with it. He didn't hesitate. And for something that's a free and that's cheap, regardless of what his weekly wage is, Matt, I don't think anybody really knows for sure, but for something like that as cover on the club, I think it's a great signing, and I think it's someone who can contribute. And even if he's here to rebuild his career and go somewhere else, okay, fine. But then we're the beneficiary of that, right?
Absolutely. Jeremiah, what do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with what both of y'all said. If I was going to give him a grade, it would have been an A. I thought he did fantastic. He only made, from what I remember seeing, was one bad pass. He passed it right to the other guy. But, I mean, he looked solid. You know, he had good passes. He was able to collect the ball. He looked okay defensively too. There was that one nice set between him and Arnie where they kind of passed it back and forth for a little bit, and they almost scored off of that. But I think it's, like you said, Jeff, it's going to take a little bit to get the rust completely off. But for not playing football for over a year, I think he looked, I was impressed.
I'm glad also that you brought up the rust there. And I wasn't so sure I was seeing rust as much as, like, and maybe it's the same thing, but just like getting into the pressures of playing in a game rather than in training. But something that was really impressive with him was the way when he received the ball, he'd move his body. And you could see he sort of directed his chest where he wanted the ball to go, and played the 1-2s with Arnautovic really well early. But yeah, I think when you said, Jeff, that you saw him sort of get comfortable and step into the match, for me, that was when he started coming back to when the center backs were holding the ball for West Ham. And he dropped all the way from that number 10 position to pick up the ball and get it up the pitch. To me, I was like, oh, this is what we've been missing. Someone dropping back deep, getting the ball, and carrying it up. And, yeah, I can't disagree with you guys, so I don't think I will. And, yeah, go ahead.
The thing that struck me, too, was I looked at when he was playing, I thought, wow, here's Jack Wilshere, but it's not Jack Wilshere. This is what Jack Wilshere's supposed to do for us, right? And that's kind of what hit me. And I thought, okay, great. He's not here. I mean, who even knows if he'll be back this year? I don't think he's supposed to be, or when. Who cares? You can't count on him. And I thought, this is great. So is it coverage for that coverage or coverage for Lanzini? It doesn't matter. Coverage for Sanchez? Obviously, we all understand the issues that the club has in midfield. So I think at this point, we can't have enough bodies that can contribute, even if it's in a limited role, because together, it's kind of like that midfield by committee where you have in some other sport where you have running back by committee or closer by committee. Maybe that's what our midfield is. It's a little bit of midfield by committee. And I think that's okay, because the sum will be, you know, the sum is greater than the whole of its parts or whatever. Yeah. That's what I think midfield is.
And don't you just have trust? I mean, you're not letting your team be dictated by the other team, but I have trust in Pellegrini's football knowledge where he's going to be able to pick out his best team for what the opposition brings. Let's say it was Bilic. I wouldn't necessarily know, based on his tenure as a manager, if he could identify which players to play in which positions or which team makeup to use. Moyes, it would be who's your most defensive-minded player and who can lob the ball up the field with the most strength on it. But, guys, to close out this review here, I'll spring it on you, so I'll go first and give you some time to think about it. But what's, like, if we're talking about the FA Cup, what's one sort of something you took from this match or something you're hoping for from West Ham just to go forward in this tournament? I will start with mine here, just to, again, give you some breathing room. But I believe that if West Ham are going to take this cup seriously, they can't do it with Adrian and Net. I thought he looked scared. He second-guessed himself on the back line. He yells when he has the ball, and his outletting's fine. But I just don't have the faith I have in him that I do in Fabianski. And I think if, like we said, we want West Ham to go on a deep run, I think it should be the Polish keeper going forward. Whoever can jump in next here on your one thought.
I think that's a good thought, and I think what we should do is, if we want to have a deep cup run, is we have to take advantage of the other EPL sides that have other business, such as Champions League or European football, to also occupy their time, as well as the league. I think that's an advantage a club like West Ham has in this tournament, as we don't have any other outside distractions. We also don't have the distraction of having to worry about relegation like we have the last two seasons, so I think we have the opportunity, and the club and the squad, to focus on the FA Cup this time. And so I think the advantage comes in was we get another round or two in, to dovetail off your point. We're going to be able to catch clubs that have other things on their mind and other matches to worry about that we don't have. And then number two, I think when we do get to that point, I 100% agree with you. We should be putting out our best lineup, and that includes Fabianski and Net, and it includes Anderson, and it includes Snodgrass and Noble and all the rest, because if we do have designs on that, we have to put out a stronger side against the club that is going to put out a weaker side because they've got a league match and a Champions League or a European football match midweek also to contend with.
Yeah, I completely agree with I'm kind of going to steal, I guess, what both of y'all said, because it's very true. I mean, you look at today's match, I know with Liverpool and Wolves going on, and I don't know what the score is, if somebody wants to update me on what the current score is. But, I mean, I think if you took a full Liverpool squad against a full Wolves squad, Liverpool is probably going to win 10 out of 10 times or 9 out of 10 times. And you can see that today. They're taking advantage of that. And I think you're exactly right that we need to do just that. I don't know who we're going to get in this draw tonight, and I guess it just depends. But yeah, I was yelling at the TV because as much as I love Adrian, he's not the same keeper that Fabianski is. Fabianski's going to come out. He looks just a lot more confident. There's plenty of times, and he even got hurt in the last match against Brighton whenever he kept coming out. And, you know, he comes out so much, and Adrian just kind of stands back there and just waits and almost lets it come to him. And, you know, I'm no goalkeeper by trade, but I know that you're going to get beat more times out of not if you just let the play come to you. So that was kind of infuriating to me. I get, you know, why they might play it for now, but I do hope that I do hope we take this serious, and I do think we will take it serious because Pellegrini has said that we are, that we will see Fabianski back in there again. But, yeah, you got to take advantage of it because it's a cup, and like we said in the opening, you know, a win's a win, so – if we would only won 1-0 and, you know, we scored in the second minute and that was it, I still would have took it. So,
Scott, why don't you close us out here?
Yeah, I think Jeremiah said it there. When you cups a win. That's what the goal is. And I think we've got a decent squad. It's one of the best squads I think we've had in a long time. It actually goes deep. I don't mind when we rotate a little bit. And that's what we did here. We rotated to pick our squad. I think obviously, Adrian, I think he's going to be our cup keeper. I think we're going to see him play throughout in the cup. But I don't think that necessarily if you play well, I think Pellegrini's going to have to juggle the fact that if he rotates, if someone plays really well in the cup, do they then step in over the regular person? So, I mean, if Silva played left wing and... if he had played left wing and banged in two or three goals from left wing, well, how do you deal with that again with Anderson? Do you try and fit them both in somehow? It's an interesting thing, but I don't think we've got any bad problems. I think we've got some interesting decisions Pellegrini might have to make, and that's what the cup should hopefully bring us. And hopefully we get some success out of it.
All right, well, we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we will get into some questions and some future titles for blogs. Keep it locked here on the Green Street Hammers podcast. All right, welcome back here to segment two, where we are jumping into some Twitter questions. First and foremost, we'd like to thank anyone who does interact with us on Twitter. We're here for the conversations, even if they are about whether Andy Carroll has lost it or not or deserves any respect. boy, that whipped up a storm on the match day there. That was incredible. Okay, so let's jump into the first one here from The Rival Sports, at The Rival Sports. Gentlemen, how many signings, permanent or loan, do you realistically think West Ham will make in the January window? Jeremiah, let's drop to you first here. What do you think?
I guess realistically it depends on who we drop off. I'm thinking that we're going to at least drop off probably three. I'm going to go with three. I think Perez will probably go. We're going to drop Boxford off, I would imagine. And then I could see someone else gone, maybe an Obiang or an Ogbonna. But I think, as far as picking up, I think we'll probably pick up four. I'm going to go with four. And I think we'll obviously look at another striker, something on either left or right back, probably right back, and then some more center. Because, like you were saying, Jeff, you know, midfield by committee. I think at this point, you know, whoever we can get in there, because who knows? We are West Ham. We're going to get injured. But I'll go with four. I don't really know exactly who those four might be yet, but I think four would be a solid solid signing for the wintertime.
All right, Scott, jump in there.
No, I think we're going to – so, I mean, if we include Nasri, so we've got Nasri, I think we'll sign a utility player, so someone who's going to just cover some midfield or defensive area. I think we'll get a striker on loan. I think we'll see the back of either Perez or Chicharito. I mean, I'd much rather it be Perez. I reckon we'll get, including Nasri, I think we're looking at three or four. I don't think we're going to go mad. I'm not sure how much we're going to spend. I don't think it'll be too much. It's one of the reasons I'm not sure about the transfer for Gary Medel anymore. I think we're starting to get into a quite expensive category for a player who is not the right side of 30. I think we're looking at above 10 million for him now, and there's a lot of players we could be putting that towards that would be improving the first team. And yeah, I think we're going to get three or four players in, including Nasri.
All right, Jeff.
I agree. I think it's more like three, including Nasri. You know, January, the window is just so inflated. The market is so inflated. I think it makes it tough. Everybody knows what everybody needs at that point, as opposed to the summer when everybody's got great expectations. So I think that tends to inflate the market. I agree. Striker comes in if a striker goes. Hopefully Perez and not Chicharito, although once again, Chicharito out, kind of mysterious circumstances why he's not been available. Yeah, I think midfield is always a place to look. And in one area of the team that is particularly weak, and we all know this, you know, midfield seems to be shaping up, but we really don't have any cover at right back when Antonio's playing right back. So if you sign a right back, then there comes that utility player of Antonio is kind of in the squad. You know, we talked about before a month or two ago about perhaps Manuel Lanzini was going to be a January signing. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So I'd still call it maybe three. I just think it's a little bit tougher to do business in January. And I think also from a business perspective, what does the club really hope to accomplish? I think we already know there's a big gaggle of teams between 7th and 12th or 13th. It's going to be pretty tough to break the top six, of course. I don't think we're in any danger of being relegated. So whatever money they spend, it has to be with some particular goal in mind. And I just wonder if they think business-wise, the signings for cover are going to be okay, but is it really going to improve our lot in life to get up from where we are now, which is probably realistically 8th, 9th, maybe 7th.
And some breaking news here. We do have our FA Cup fourth round draw opponent confirmed. It's breaking to us, but when you're listening to this, it'll be old news by then. But West Ham have drawn to face AFC Wimbledon in the fourth round. I'm not sure if it's home or away.
We're away.
Okay, so Wimbledon away. A team that we played and beat early in the season, although they were tough in that first matchup in the Carabao Cup. So let's take a quick divergent set here. And yeah, I was going to say two signings, Nasri plus one more. And it's going to be someone none of us have heard of that Husilios has tabs on either in like Brazil or somewhere in France's second league. Wimbledon away. What are our thoughts on that? I don't know. It's very quick and very brief, but do we get another Issa Diop wonder strike? Well, how are we gonna? I think that Wimbledon's gonna be kind of blown away when they see where West Ham's at now compared to where they were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that was a scary match. I remember being pretty upset over that. I mean, we got the win, but you know, that much different team then than we are now. So yeah, I mean, it's a good one. It's hopefully, you know, without getting too far ahead of it, hopefully another win to get us into the next round. It wasn't who I wanted to play, but you know, you'll take it. It's better than having to face somebody that you might lose out to. So we'll take it. And like you said, I think we are a better team than we were then.
Yeah, and just to reiterate here, West Ham did win 3-1 on August 18th. There was an 18-minute red card. but also a 2-minute goal from Wimbledon. But Issa Diop scored in the 63rd minute. Ogbonna scored off a corner in the 83rd, and Hernandez scored in the 92nd. West Ham had 28 shots with 11 on target and 81% possession, amassing 720 passes opposed to Wimbledon's 174. Scott, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they're bottom of League One, or they're struggling in League One. I think we're looking at two sides that I think Wimbledon were very up for that match at the start of the year, and West Ham were still finding their feet. We were still trying to sort of search out our best team, work out where these new players were going to fit, and now we're settled. We're going to have more players back. It's unless Wimbledon have just given up on the league, I think that they will be up for it. Of course they will, because it's a cup game. You throw everything at it for 90 minutes, see what happens. But we should have the quality to be able to deal with it. I can see a similar kind of possession thing. I think we will just try and keep the ball, make them work hard, because they will be working hard every single game to try and fight their way out of the issue they're in at the moment. And I think our quality will see it through. And at this stage of the cup, it's always fun to play someone who, like, in a lower league, it's what the cup's about. I wouldn't want just a random other, I wouldn't want to play Brighton. It seems a bit boring to play another Premier League side that doesn't have a big history behind it, or like a rivalry. And I think it'll be a good day.
I agree with that. I think anytime you draw someone that's not in the EPL at this stage of the cup, it's great news for us.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think there's too much else we can really jump into here on that. Scott Davis, Denver West Ham, at Denver West Ham, did ask, if we drew Millwall in the cup, would you rather be home or away? None of us would be going to that match just based off of geography and the sheer price of flights. But he does have an interesting one after that, and that is, what formation would you play against Arsenal? I'll jump in first and just say I would go with the 4-2-3-1. I think that's our best formation, which sounds like blasphemy from the 4-2-2-2 man that I am. But I think we need more in the midfield, and having Nasri a top two defensive midfielders, or two midfielders playing further back, which will probably be Rice and Noble, I think that gives us the most balance and the most ability to break up their swift counterattack and their really quick attack up the middle. So that's my pick. Guys, if you'd like to give us yours.
I'll roll with you on that. I think, Arsenal is one of those clubs. You could say Spurs, maybe. I don't think anybody was surprised by Liverpool or Man City, but you could say with the change that they made at manager, they're probably one of the most surprising clubs in Premier League this year, for my money. I mean, they look like a totally different side this year than they have in the last couple of years, just based on interest level and skill level, and they would show that from time to time before under Arsene Wenger, but it just, that was a clear case of something that's run its course. And so I think it's going to be a really good measuring stick for West Ham to play Arsenal at this point in the season for both clubs. But I like what you said about the formation there. One thing I loved about Pellegrini's attitude versus our last three managers is that he is going to give it a go for sure. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's the way to approach it.
Yeah, I can't disagree there. Scott, what's your formation?
I think we try and keep kind of similar. I'd love to be able to say we keep it at a 4-2-2-2, but I think we're going to drop that extra midfielder in behind Arnie. I think Nasri would be perfect for that. Go for like a 4-2-3-1. Kind of try and stifle the midfield a bit, because Arsenal's goal scorers are their best asset. They are, I mean, Aubameyang and Lacazette. There was a time a few years ago where they were looking just for one of them, and they would have been over the moon with just signing one of them. And now they've got both in the team. Aubameyang has loads of shots, and he has the ability to pick out a great one every match at the moment. And it will be tough. And I just think we need to make sure that we don't give away too many opportunities to them. And just as a little bit of flavour for the question we actually raised with the would you rather play home and away, or home or away, It's not the current ground, unfortunately, but I've actually played at the old Den, which was Millwall's old ground. And having played, because my youth team did particularly well, and we got to play the Millwall youth team. And we played on their pitch at half time. We weren't allowed to wear our own kit because we would have been abused and had stuff thrown at us if we had. We were 10. So we had to play in the Millwall away kit to make them think that we were part of their club. That is the kind of fan they are. So, yeah, just Millwall for me, like a special fire against them, I think is a big thing for most West Ham fans. But, yeah, they're not a particularly nice club in any way, shape or form, considering we would actually have a rivalry. Yeah, I think the police were begging the FA to try and fix it just as some way not to come up against us.
I did see someone say they were hoping that it wasn't Millwall that we drew because things would devolve and escalate into violence probably pretty quickly, and then it would just end up looking bad on West Ham, who are trying to sort of straighten their image up a bit, which is a fair point. But then there's also that gritty rivalry that everyone wants in sports that could have had one of two chances to happen this year. It could have been that. But yeah, I don't know if I'm totally on board with that either.
Hey, we're called Green Street Hammers for a reason, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I knew that was going to come up.
Okay, guys, let's jump into some quick what's more likely for future blog titles here. So I'm going to throw out some blog titles, two of them about the same topic. We have three of them on the docket here. And in a word or two, you guys can give me which is more likely to happen and why. We'll start with Scott. And then we'll work our way across to Jeremiah. The first one here is going to be for the upcoming match against Arsenal. West Ham limp out of Arsenal match after lopsided loss, or West Ham look refreshed in Irons win. Scott, what do you think is more likely?
I would love to say that I think that Irons look refreshed. I fear that our defence has been giving up some chance. Even the matches we've won, we've shown some. We've shown that we don't necessarily shut down defensively. The one bit of promise I have going into the Arsenal match at the moment is that the goals we conceded against Brighton were just set pieces, and I don't think Arsenal were any better at set pieces than we are. And I fear that the Arsenal or West Ham limp away is going to be a more likely one, unfortunately.
Jeff, what do you think?
I think that's true. Literally limp away. I think it's most likely that we're limping away because we've got too many people nicked up, and I think Arsenal is pretty clinical, and I've already said I've been impressed with them. So I think that's the more likely thing that we're going to see coming out of this match. And not to be completely negative, but you know, we were on that really strong run of form, but you go back now to the last four Premier League games, not counting the cup game we just won, but we've only won one of our last four. We got a couple losses in there and a draw, so I think a draw would be a great result, but I think it's most likely that we would come out of this without any points.
And Jeremiah?
Yeah, I'm going to beat a dead horse with you guys on that one. I would like to see us come out with a draw, but with the injuries that we have kind of currently going on, I don't know if anybody's going to be back in time for that match or not. But, I don't know. Last time we played each other, we were two different teams completely. We were both bottom of the league, and I know it was only, the third or fourth match, but still, you know, I think kind of Arsenal really turned it around. We both kind of have since then, but they just have a lot, and the set pieces scare me. For whatever reason, Diop's looked a little shaky on some set pieces in the last couple matches, but
because I think General's not there to tell him what to do.
Yeah, I think we are. I think it's going to be a limp away. I would hope for a draw. You never know. We could come out just guns a-blazing and take it over, but yeah, if we're going to play more likely, I'll go with the limp away.
I'm glad you guys all picked that because that truly is the more likely of the two. The only thing would be like an early goal because their defense isn't all that impressive. But Koscielny got injured recently as well, so it's going to be Socrates and Mustafi who both are, you know, liable to get a yellow, if not red card at any point in time. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have someone like Arnautovic laughing in their face should he steal a ball off of them. But I'm with you guys. The all likeliness, it's going to be a limping loss for West Ham, but we stay positive and motivated that we can change that. And on to the next one. West Ham and Pellegrini spend big on January recruits, or West Ham do little in reserve transfer window. Scott?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do much. I certainly don't see us spending big. I've said before that January isn't the time to get these big players. We're not... I don't think we're quite close enough to sort of pushing the big teams that the board are going to look at it and go, if we get one more player in, we can do it. I think we need another summer of like careful recruitment and buying decent players then, because right now I don't think we're quite there. And January, you're going to pay inflated prices. You really are. For anyone who's going to improve a Premier League side, it's going to be a big price.
All right, Jeff?
Yeah, I agree. Do little for everything that you just said. I mean, for it's not the time. We spent so much in the summer, and we had such a great transfer window. I think it's almost a little irresponsible to come back and think you're going to have that great success and throw a bunch of money at it again in January. Let's have a better plan in the summer for what we really need and when the prices are more reasonable and you can fly a little bit more under the radar, like we did last summer, really.
Jeremiah?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. Kind of West Ham's favorite time of year on Twitter is when the transfer window is open, because, you know, we're just linked to everybody.
It's good for views.
It's good for views. And, but yeah, I don't think we're going to get anybody big. Like you said, maybe we might get some like kind of quiet player in the French league or Spanish side. It just depends on who that might be. But yeah, I don't think we're going to flash too much cash this time around.
Yeah, another clean sweep here. I don't think so either. I think maybe our biggest move could come with looking at who we have out on loan. I think they're determined to get Oxford into the championship, so if they recall him, it'll be to send him back out probably. But we talked about it pre-show without mics on, of course, and I think Edmilson Fernandez is turning heads in Italy, played in his correct holding midfield position, as well as Jordan Hugo's looked actually really good in recent weeks for Middlesbrough. People were saying, oh, he's only scoring penalties. Two of his goals have been penalties, sure, but ask Cesc Fabregas how important it is to convert your penalties, because he was looking for the perfect exit from Chelsea and didn't get it. So, yeah, penalties only as good as the guy taking it, and West Ham haven't been getting a lot of those, but they could use some striker who's young, he's 26, and who runs down the ball almost exactly like Arnautovic does. And Hugo, when he was excited to come out to all the bubbles, was putting the pressure on there, looking like a Tottenham player at the top of the table. So it may be worth looking at, that's for sure. And guys, the last one here is, and this is a long-term one, but we'll see. Felipe Anderson leads West Ham in scoring after slow start, or fit Arnautovic retakes West Ham goal lead, finishes as top scorer. Scott?
I think if Arnautovic stays fit, you're going to be looking at Arnie as the top scorer at the end of the season. I think Anderson has scored most of his goals when Arnautovic hasn't been playing. I think he takes that kind of mantle on as the chief creator. He just doesn't have that same avenue to supply. But yeah, I think Arnie will end up as the top scorer.
All right, Jeff?
Just to be different, I'll say Anderson, because I think it could be an if, by the way that Arnie plays, that he maintains his fitness throughout the rest of the campaign. I hope he does, but the way he throws his body around, the fact that he's already been nicked up, could limit his opportunities. And to be different from Scott, I'll say Philippe Anderson.
And Jeremiah?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Anderson as well. I think when we start getting some people back healthy, maybe go back to that 4-2-2-2 or 4-4-2, however you want to look at it. I think Anderson thrives a little bit more in that role. And you're right. And he scored more with Arnautovic out, because Arnie kind of takes the ball and kind of does his thing sometimes, which works. But I do think you'll see more of the 4-4-2, or I hope you'll see more of the 4-4-2 by the end of the year with Anderson taking a lead.
I'm going to go with Scott on this one and say Arnautovic. Again, it's predicated on him being healthy, but if you have Nasri now / Lanzini in a month or two's time behind the striker, and you have Anderson out wide, Diangana, maybe Snodgrass, who knows, maybe Antonio or even Yarmolenko by the end of the season, I think you're going to start seeing that more up the middle attack, which benefits Arnautovic more than anyone. All right, that's it for this segment here. When we come back, we'll look ahead to the Arsenal match. All right, in the final segment here, we are going to give our preview for the upcoming Arsenal match. We did lose Jeff along the way. And we'll save his score prediction till the end. It's quite negative, so I don't really want to start the segment with it. But guys, what are our general thoughts here heading into the Arsenal match? They've been in form and looking solid all season long, but they did lose to Southampton, and then we did beat Southampton right afterwards. So transitive theory, I guess we're better than them in that sense. But Scott, do you have any sort of I don't want to say hope, but are there any openings for West Ham in this match?
Yeah, I think Arsenal are not solid defensively. They've also got an issue with dealing with stuff in the air. I mean, that Southampton match showed it perfectly. They Leno's come in and done well for them. He's a very good shot stopper and a decent sweep keeper, but he's not good as good at dealing with things in the air. I think if we get some balls in to Arnie, maybe from a little bit deeper than we used to, I think we really could trouble them, because Arnie is strong, he's powerful. You said earlier he's going to laugh in their face when they miss the ball, and he's not going to let them forget any mistake, and he will be on them all the time. So I do think it's going to be a game of who can take the chances, because I assume Balbuena will be back, and Balbuena and Diop for me are a solid pairing, but they will give up some chances. There's no doubt about that. But I think it's going to be quite a high octane game in that regard.
Jeremiah?
Yeah, I think a lot of the same. You know, like I said in the previous segment, when we played each other at the beginning of the year, two completely different teams. And Leno is good. But like you said, Scott, he is a suspect from time. And I think that I'm hoping we can take advantage of that. Balbuena should be back. I don't know if Chicha will be back or not. I guess that just depends. But I do think if we can get the pressure on him early, and even if it's not scoring goals, but just kind of keeping it down on their end, getting pressure on them, you know, we're going to cross the ball in. And it depends, I guess, if Carroll plays or how much he plays. Depends how much we cross the ball in. But I think that can be a big issue as well. And it could be in our favor. I do hope Balbuena is back. And that might solidify the defense a little bit. It's going to be a tough game back and forth. Hopefully it pans out a little bit better than it did earlier this year. I don't have an exact, I guess, prediction yet, but I do hope it'll pan a little bit better than it did earlier.
Yeah, and I think we can sort of work off of that earlier match and hopefully bring something similar to how it started, because West Ham scored an early goal. Felipe Anderson assisted Marko Arnautovic, who scored bottom left corner. It was on Petr Cech then, but I think a similar goal would do the trick against Bernd Leno now. But they have some issues defensively. I think Laurent Koscielny is out injured now, so that leaves Socrates and Mustafi to sort of run that central midfield, and they're not the biggest guys. And if you have Marko Arnautovic jumping at them early, and you have Mikel Antonio possibly playing the right wing, which I could see them doing, I don't know exactly how that'll play out for Arsenal. And especially if you have Mustafi or Socrates on a yellow and tired at the end of the match for the last 20 minutes, and Andy Carroll comes off the sideline, I think that this could be a match where you really start to see Carroll exposing people as far as just jumping at balls and being sort of a hard to play against kind of guy. But I agree with what you said there, Scott. It's a little unpredictable, but they're defensively weak, and we should sort of try to start on the front foot, not ignoring their pretty awesome attack, but certainly trying to attack them as much as we can early. Something that's become a tradition here is sort of doing the combined 11 and seeing who exactly would start in each position. We'll go for a formation of 4-2-3-1. Actually, let's go 4-4-2. That makes it a little bit easier, I think, to sort of line up these teams here. So we'll start at the back. Are we taking Bernd Leno or are we taking Fabianski and Net? Jeremiah, what do you think?
I'm going to take Fabianski.
I'm with you there, Scott.
Yeah, I think Fabianski is shown that he's a very good all-round keeper. Leno may add some facets to his game, but I think right now Fabianski's the better keeper.
And at right back, are we going Maitland-Niles, who had a good match against Liverpool, or are we looking to go with Pablo Zabaleta?
Oof. I think Zabaleta brings a lot to this side, and I think he adds a lot of experience without being hampered by his age. I think that's a huge quality to have.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I think Zabaleta for sure, just because of, I mean, he's been on fire this year. I think we'll keep it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna again make it a clean sweep here. I think if you ask this question next year, it's gonna be Maitland-Niles because he looks like he's developing really, really well, promising for England too, I believe. So for right now, Zabaleta. Until you can take it from him, it's gonna be Zabaleta. Center backs, any two of the combination of Mustafi, Socrates, Issa Diop, and Fabian Balbuena. I don't want to sound like a homer, but I kind of want to take the West Ham duo.
Yeah, I think over those two, just you said the other guy's out, injured right now. I'm not even going to try to butcher his name. Is Koscielny, am I saying that right?
Yeah, that sounded good.
Yeah, pretty. If I say it fast enough, then it sounds right. But yeah, I think, like you said, being a homer, I'm going to go straight West Ham.
What do you think, Scott?
I can't disagree with you there. I think he's... again, we're really pushing into the picking all the West Ham players here, but I don't think we are. I think Arsenal would probably pick these kind of players as well. They probably fit the mould of the Arsenal, especially Diop, young, up and coming, adds a little bit of tenacity, and they have the mobility of the Arsenal defence don't at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something that West Ham seemed to have put together when they had Diop and Balbuena playing together. That win streak was intact. Balbuena goes out injured. All of a sudden, West Ham starts losing matches again. I don't think it's by coincidence. I think that's a really good partnership that they put together there. So can't disagree with that one. Left back, I'm going to take Kolasinac over Cresswell and or Mazuaku. You could tape them together, and I would still take Kolasinac over them. But what do you guys think?
I completely agree with you. He's potentially a little bit... he goes on a bit of a wander, but then so does Mazuaku. So I think he's got pace, power. He's got technique as well. So I think he's better than our two left-backs for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that too. I think if you had that Hammer of the Year, Cresswell, from a couple of years ago, you would take him. But right now, I'm going to go with that.
Okay, now let's go to the midfield. And we're going to go central midfield first here. And we're going to have six players to pick from. Three Arsenal, three West Ham. For West Ham, you're going to have Mark Noble, Declan Rice, and Pedro Obiang. And for Arsenal, it's going to be Granit Xhaka, Guendouzi, and Lucas Torreira. Who out of those six would you use to make up a midfield duo, Scott?
I'd say Declan Rice, I think, walks into the team. But my other one would probably be Lucas Torreira. I think he's been really good for Arsenal this year. They potentially play quite a similar position, but Torreira is very mobile. I think he can sort of... do a sweeping action, like a sweep in front of Rice. I think Rice is just super solid as a base of a midfield duo. I think he gives us all the shape we need, and I think he would walk into pretty much any side, maybe apart from the only side that I think might not be interested in him would be Man City and Chelsea. They've got a lot of players in those positions, but then and Chelsea probably don't use a defensive midfield like we do, but yeah, I think he's class.
Yeah, I'm not trying to copy you, Scott, but I think I would go the same way. I think Declan Rice, you got to put in there. And then, yeah, it's just an easy fit to put Torreira with him. So, yeah, those two for me.
I'll disagree. I'm going to say Granit Xhaka. Torreira hasn't done it consistently enough, and I think he's going to be a great player for them. But I like Xhaka's physicality. He's that stonewall defensive midfielder as well. Plus, the Xhaka boom, he can release that shot from distance, so I'll take that. Let's go to right mid. Kind of a handful of players you can pick here, but for Arsenal, I'm gonna give them, because he didn't come up as an attacking midfielder, I'll give them Aaron Ramsey as well as Mkhitaryan. And for West Ham, I will go Snodgrass and Grady Diangana, and we could also put in Mikel Antonio. Jeremiah, I'll get you to – you can go ahead and pick first there.
Yeah, I'm trying to debate on that one. I don't want what were the two options again for Arsenal? Sorry.
Aaron Ramsey and Mkhitaryan.
I think I'd probably go with Mkhitaryan. I think if we're going to go right mid or right wing, however we're looking at this. He's had a really good year this year. I think he's third for them in goals. I think he has four. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I was looking it up earlier this morning. But yeah, I just like him overall. Him or Ramsey would be tough between the two of them, but I would go Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, I would. I'm going to go with Ramsey. I think he's pretty dynamic and is getting a lot of attention these days. But yeah, I think Mkhitaryan's exciting. Diangana has got some work to do and growing up a bit. Snodgrass has not been on form like he used to, and Antonio looks like more of an impact sub rather than a starter. But I would give it to Aaron Ramsey. What about you, Scott?
I like Mkhitaryan on that right side. I think he's class. He's one of these players that might not have all the physicality the Premier League properly requires. I like Aaron Ramsey. It is a tough one because I also think Snodgrass has played exceptionally well this season. And yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Arsenal man. I like Mkhitaryan. I think he's a classy passer of the ball, and he would create a lot of chances.
All right. And I'm just going to probably – I'll put the option out there, but we're all probably going to be taking Felipe Anderson over Alex Iwobi.
Yeah.
All right, let's pick our two strikers, Arnautovic and Andy Carroll versus Lacazette and Aubameyang. Jeremiah, go ahead and give us your combined two there.
So I'm going to go Arnie. I'm going to split him down the middle. I'll go Arnautovic, and I'm probably going to go that's tough. Aubameyang, probably.
Yeah, I'm taking
I think the two of those together, you know, if you're playing FIFA or Football Manager together, would be solid, you know, since that's how we base our ratings anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Well, we don't know anything about football, so. what do you think, Scott?
I think, I go Arnie and Aubameyang. I think Arnie is a perfect. He's great up on his own, but he works well as a pair as well. He works hard, he scores goals, and he creates chances. And Aubameyang is a brilliant finisher. You give him enough for the ball around the box and he'll score. I think he's better at that than Lacazette. I think Lacazette's a similar, maybe a little bit more technical minded than Arnie. It doesn't quite have that physicality and fire that the Austrian has, and that's why I'm going to go with the say one from West Ham, one from Arsenal for that.
All right, yeah, I can't disagree on that one either. That's actually a pretty good team. That'd be pretty solid. Mostly West Ham's defense, mostly Arsenal's attack, and a good solid mix up the middle, whether it be Torreira or Xhaka and Declan Rice. All right, let's finish off here strong with our score predictions. We'll sell Jeff down the river here and say that he, without hesitation, said that Arsenal would win this match 3-1. Makes me sick. I have the same feeling there. Let's look at their last matches here. They beat back Blackpool in the FA Cup 3-0. They beat Fulham 4-1. And then Liverpool beat them 5-1. Before that, they drew Brighton, so we have that in common. And they beat Burnley just before that. And actually, ahead of that, they lost to Tottenham 2-0 in League Cup, the Carabao Cup, and then they lost to Southampton. So they're a bit up and down. I think if you can jump on them early, you can sort of give them a ride. They do tend to come back, especially if they don't start Lacazette and Aubameyang together. They can bring one on later to sort of give themselves a surge. But I like a 2-2 draw on this one. Lots of goals, lots of action. I'm gonna say that. What about you, Jeff? Jeremiah.
Well, we already know Jeff went 3-1, which is big Arsenal awful. Fan. Awful. Yeah, I have to question that. But I'm gonna go with you with the 2-2. I don't want to sound pessimistic. I don't think there's any way that we keep them from not scoring at least two goals. Their attack has just been really on point. I think they've had a couple up and down games, you know, that 5-1 against Liverpool, but it's Liverpool, you know, and I think 2-2 is a solid bet. I think we come out of there with a draw, but we got to get on them early. I don't think we can sit back and try to play that possession ball kind of in our half. I think we need to really kind of push it on towards them.
And Scott, do you want to end us off here?
Yeah, well, I was going to go with, I think 2-1 probably to Arsenal, unfortunately, it's probably going to be quite likely. I have voted for, like, on things I've been seeing going around. I think a score draw is quite likely. I think we could exploit Arsenal's weaknesses, but their goal scoring is very strong. And that's the kind of trade-off we're looking at here.
All right, guys. Any final thoughts from either of you guys on anything West Ham related right now?
No, but say like we're churning out articles at the moment. There's loads of stuff on Queen Street Hammers. We're trying to cover every rumor we see. Being January, the papers are linking us to everyone. So it's been hard going trying to catch up with them all. Anyone listening, if you think that there's a rumor we've missed, we need to discuss, let us know, and we'll get on it.
At Green ST Hammers. And Jeremiah, any final thoughts and words?
No, you know, like I said, you know, we're going to get everybody this transfer window, according to Sky Sports and everybody else. So just keep your eyes on that. But no, I got nothing else. So come on, you Irons.
All right. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.